Hey, good morning, Rev City family. How are we doing today? Who's grateful to be in the house of God on Resurrection Sunday? The tomb is still empty. Someone say amen. Hey, do me a favor. Stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. Just something a little unique for Easter Sunday, for Resurrection Sunday, as I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 28, just a portion of the story of Jesus' resurrection. And it says this, verse 1, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat upon it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen." And how many know 2,000 years later, that tomb is still empty? He's still alive. Hey, do me a favor. As you're being seated once again, find someone to your left or your right. Come on, welcome them. Tell them that you are glad that they are here. Tell someone you're looking good in the house of God on Easter Sunday. We're so glad that you're here. So grateful that you're joining us online as well on Resurrection Sunday from Kansas to Kenya and many places in between. People tuning in on the online platform, we're grateful that you're joining us today as we celebrate the risen King, as we grow in our faith together today. If you have your Bible, and I hope one way or the other you do, please turn or click to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. And I'm just really excited. Every chance I get to share the word of God with you as the people of God, it's a distinct honor. It's a privilege. I do not take it for granted. But there's just a special measure of that that I appreciate on Resurrection Sunday. Because Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is by far, I believe, the most important cataclysmic event in all of human history. And even for those of us who put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Easter's the most important day. Resurrection Sunday is the most important day of our faith. And somebody say, "Well, Pastor T, what about Christmas?" Well, think about this. Christmas happened with the cross in mind. Jesus came as a baby to that manger with a full intention of going to that cross to pay the price that you and I could never pay. And so Christmas happened with Easter in mind, with resurrection in mind, with the cross in mind. And the story of Easter happened with you in mind. That it was about God coming and sending his son to rescue us out of our sin and back into a relationship with him. And so Easter is the most important day, the most significant event in all of human history. To some people, though, it's just a holiday, right? To some people, it's just a three-day weekend in the spring where maybe we indulge in chocolate, wear something pastel to church. But to us, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, that to those in the world, the cross is folly, it's foolishness. But it says to those of us, you and I, who are being saved, it's the very power of God. And so can I just ask you a question this morning? What is Easter to you? And my hope, my heart, my prayer today is that in just some way, in a deeper way, in a new way, in a fresh way, that each of us, regardless of how we would answer that question today, would walk away from this place having a deeper revelation of the significance and the power of the cross, the burial, and the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. What's Easter to you? And I'm reminded of a Sunday school teacher who asked that same question to her Sunday school class. What's Easter about? How do we remember Easter? What happened at Easter? What's the significance of Easter, class? And little Jimmy raised his hand and he said, "Is that the day where we eat turkey and watch football?" And the teacher said, "No, not quite." Jimmy, good try. Johnny raised his hand and he said, "Is that the Sunday where we have Easter baskets and we eat lots of chocolate and the bunny comes?" And she said, "Well, that's part of some things that we do to celebrate Easter weekend." But she said, "It's about more than that." And little Susie raised her hand and the teacher said, "Susie, what do you think Easter's about?" Susie said, "That's the Sunday where the Lord Jesus Christ came to be the spotless Lamb of God, be the propitiation for our sins so that we could be reconciled back to relationship with our Heavenly Father and all of our sins could be forgiven." The Sunday school teacher thought, wow, Susie's really got it figured out, right? Like, she said it better than I could. And the teacher said, Susie, what happened after he went to that cross? He went to a tomb, right? And she said, yes. And she said, Susie, what happened when he came out of that tomb? And little Susie, who had answered so eloquently before, said, he saw a shadow and there were 6 more weeks of winter. The things the kids say, right? And it reminded me of some things that our kids say when our little Evan, you know, I'm going to tell our kids a little bit here, and they have Miranda rights for preacher's kids, right? You have the right to remain silent because what you say and do can be used in the sermon illustration, right? That's what I say. So our little guy, Evan, last year he was in kindergarten. He came home from school the first week of kindergarten. And I said, Evan, what'd you learn at school today? And Evan goes, Dad, I learned that P-E is how you spell gym. It's funny, right? And cute. Another one, and the rest of them will remain anonymous. But there's one thing that they all have in common, and they were all about Evan's age, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old when these things came out of their mouths. And one time I was tucking one of them in, and I said, have you ever thought about what you want to do with your life, how you want to make a difference with your life? And I was just curious to see what they would say. And they said, you know, I have. And they said, maybe I'll be a doctor or a lawyer. And my heart was kind of beaming with pride. And then they said, or a dinosaur. But well, 2 out of 3 is not bad, right? One time we were visiting in-laws in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and it was a really nice part of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And I think they had heard me say something to that effect, like, this is a really nice part of town. And then one of them looked over and they said, Dad, they said, look. They said, a Papa John's pizza next to a Krispy Kreme. This really is the nicest town I've ever visited. Well, yeah, that makes it pretty nice, right? Last one, another time we were celebrating Thanksgiving, and the table was set with an abundance, the turkey and the ham and the dressing and the mashed potatoes and the gravy. Come on, this is the third service of the day. I'm getting hungry. I got to quit talking about food, right? And we were about to say grace over our Thanksgiving meal, and one of the kids volunteered to do it. I thought, wow, you know, your daddy's heart just kind of beams with pride. And so we all bowed, and they began to pray. Dear God, thank you for our family. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for Jesus and the cross of Jesus. Thank you for Mr. So-and-so for healing him, because sometimes throughout the past, we've known of someone in our church that's going through a struggle or a challenge, and so we've been praying as a family for you guys. So thank you for so-and-so for healing him. And then she said, and thank you for inventing these tasty animals for us to butcher and eat on Thanksgiving. Amen. True story, right? So I don't know if Jesus came out of the tomb and saw his shadow, and I for sure know that that would not have meant there were another 6 weeks of winter. Did I get that right? Here's what I do know, is that when Jesus came out of that tomb, it changed everything. Forever was changed for you and for me. And that when Jesus came out of that tomb after living that blameless life and going to that cross, but then he went to that tomb and did not stay there. That tomb could not hold him. That stone could not hold him. He came out of that tomb and he lives forevermore. It changes everything for you and me. And my hope, my heart, my prayer is that today on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, that in just a new way, a fresh way, or a deeper way, you apprehend the power of the cross, the significance of the risen life and what it means to you, not just on Easter, but every day in your life of faith. And so I want to encourage you today with the power of the cross, the message of the cross, the power of the empty tomb. And I want to encourage you today with something the Lord showed me a few years back that I'd never really seen in my life of faith. That at a glance, you can look at a cross and you can see the significance and the power of what God was doing in your life through the cross. And I'll show you what I mean. When you look at that cross, you can see that there's a vertical beam, right? And there's a vertical beam on that cross that points upward towards heaven. And it reminds you, even at a glance, that the cross of Jesus Christ was about restoring relationship between you and your heavenly Father in heaven. And the Bible says it this way. The Bible says that God decided, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Watch this. That's what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It wasn't an afterthought. He wasn't reluctant. It wasn't begrudging. And did you see what it said? He said he decided in advance. In other words, he knew I'd blow it. He knew I'd need a savior. He knew you'd blow it. He knew you'd need a savior. And in spite of me, he still sent Jesus to that cross. And did you see what it said? It said he came to bring us back to him. Because religion is man's forever frustrated and futile attempt to make oneself right with, approved by, and acceptable to God. But the story of Easter is God's forever fruitful, undefeated, never ending, never failing, successful endeavor to bring us back to him, a relationship with your heavenly Father forever restored. And he says it was his good pleasure to do so. Some of you feel like maybe you weren't worthy of what Jesus did at that cross. I'm telling you that you are. I'm telling you that it was his good pleasure to do it. He decided beforehand, I love him so much. I love her so much. That there's a moment in time after thousands of years of prophecy, Jesus, get ready because I'm sending you as their big brother in the faith to go and rescue them back, not to a denomination, not to an organization, but to a family, back into relationship with a heavenly Father who loves you. You need to hear this. He loves you just the way you are today. But that's the message of John 3:16. He loves you too much to leave you where you are. He sent Jesus to rescue you out of your sin and into a relationship restored with your heavenly Father. So when you look at that cross, even at a glance, you could see that vertical beam. It points towards heaven, and it's forever speaking and declaring that through the cross of Jesus Christ, relationship with God, your Father, is forever restored. Come on, that's good news. Someone ought to say amen. Romans 4:25 says, he, speaking of Jesus, was handed over to die. Why? Because of our sins. Your sins, my sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. Relationship forever restored. That same beam that points vertically up towards heaven, reminding us of relationship restored forever and ever with our heavenly Father, also points downward, right? And here's what it can speak to us, even at a glance. I hope you never look at a cross the same way. And I hope you always remember what is being declared by the message of the cross. It points downward, and here's what it reminds us of, that sin, death, and the grave have forever and ever been defeated by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And this is good news for any of us who fear death. This is good news for any of us who have lost a loved one who went home before we thought they should have gone home. That this life on this side of eternity is but a vapor. And there's a moment because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary where you will be reunited with the saints of old and all those who have gone before you and forever and ever and ever and ever for all of eternity. And how many of you know eternity is a long time? We'll be gathered together in the presence of our Father, worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose name is Jesus. Because sin and death and the grave have forever been defeated. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's not just an event. He's a person that now lives in you. And he said, anyone, someone say anyone, who believes in me will live even after dying. Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18, Jesus said, don't be afraid. He said, you don't need to fear death anymore. He said, I am the first and the last. He said, I'm the living one. He said, I died, but look. And it's what we're doing today on Resurrection Sunday. We're reminding ourselves, we're gazing upon, we're looking upon, spiritually speaking, the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. He said, look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and the grave. This is what God has testified, 1 John 5, that he has given us eternal life, and this life is found in his Son. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thank God, he gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can look at that cross, and even at a glance, you could be reminded forever that that vertical beam points upward to remind you that relationship with your Heavenly Father was forever restored. You can look at that same beam just at a glance, and you could be reminded that sin and death and the grave have forever been defeated, and everyone who will believe in His name, they might die, but they will not perish. You'll have eternal life. Come on, that's good news. Maybe we don't talk about that enough in church because we're so caught up with this life and these cares and these concerns. Can I encourage you? Eternity is a long time. And can I challenge you to ask yourself, where are you going to spend eternity? And can I invite you that there's no better time than Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, to put your faith and your trust in the perfected, completed work of the cross of Jesus Christ, to experience the peace that comes with knowing you do not have to fear death or the grave. You might die, you will die on this side of eternity, but you will live forevermore. We could look at that cross and we could be reminded that relationships forever restored with our Heavenly Father. Some of you need to hear me repeat that because you feel like you're not worthy. Relationships been forever restored. It was His good pleasure to come and bring you back from where you got lost, from where you found yourself. And it was His great pleasure to do so. We can be reminded that sin and death are completely destroyed, forever defeated. We could look at that same cross and there's a second beam, right? And it's the horizontal beam. And here's what it speaks to us. Even at a glance, we could look at that horizontal beam, and it's pointing back into our past, and it's pointing into our future. And we could look at that horizontal beam as it points back to our past, and at a glance, we could be reminded that the cross of Jesus Christ forever forgave us and gave us freedom over every sin, every misdeed, every mistake, every error that we ever made in life. That the message of the cross is forgiveness. That we are made right with God, Romans chapter 3, with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And watch what it says. It says, this is true for everyone. Someone say everyone. I just feel like there's some folks who are hearing this today, that this message has resonated as true for some other people in your life that are maybe better Christians or more godly or haven't made some of the mistakes. And I'm telling you, the message is for anyone and everyone. And it says, for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter whether your family has served God. All that matters is that by His Holy Spirit, in a moment like we're sharing today, with a room filled of people who have previously experienced that moment where the Holy Spirit moved on your heart, and showed you that Easter is more than just a holiday. It was a powerful event. It was the invitation of God to come back into relationship with Him, to be completely restored into relationship, to be completely forgiven and made whole. It says it's true for everyone, no matter who we are. Verse 22, verse 23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And 1 John 1:8 doubles down on this. It says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves. You might say, well, Pastor T, this is Easter Sunday. Keep it positive. I'm positive we all have sinned. There's not one of us that's immune from this. And let me ask you a question. On your best day, I mean your very best day, you're meeting the mark, you're expressing patience and self-control, even in spite of things that people are doing to you on the way to work or whatever you're up against. And on your very best day, I mean, you're meeting the mark on a scale of 1 to 100, with 1 being really terrible and 100 being the standard of holiness that Jesus modeled for us. How high of a score would you allow yourself to give yourself? How about on a mediocre day where you've made some good decisions and you've maybe stumbled in some ways? What about on the days that we all have, like I've had just recently, where I'd be hard-pressed to give myself a score in the teens, right? How good of a person can you really be? Here's the good news. It was never about how good we could become. We don't get good to get God. And the cross, you look at the cross, you glance at the cross, and that horizontal beam points back to every mistake you made, the one you made 20 years ago, the one you made 20 seconds ago. And how many of you know that those things are both in your past? Don't serve a sentence. Don't allow the enemy to beat you up with guilt and shame and condemnation for the thing that you did just recently or that thing that you've been carrying the weight of for maybe decades. Because the cross of Jesus Christ was all about bringing about the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus didn't come to make bad people less bad. He didn't come to modify our behavior. There's a response that causes us to live differently. But he came knowing that we would need forgiveness. Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, he says he told them, red letter words, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. And he said, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous. How many know some of those folks? But those who know they are sinners. He said, I've come for people who realize, man, without God in my life. And how many know I still realize without God in my life. I still realize I've been a preacher, I've been a pastor, I've been a leader for years and years, and I still realize without God in my life. I cannot be the husband, the father, the leader, the friend to you guys that God has called me to be. He said, I didn't come for people who thought that they were high and mighty. I came for people who would be willing to say, I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. And that cross, that horizontal beam forever points backwards towards your past to remind you that the message of the cross is complete forgiveness. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he, speaking of Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could become dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Here's the good news, that's a long ways. And there's no sin, no mistake, no misdeed, no regret that is bigger than or more powerful than the shed blood, the precious blood we sing about today of Jesus Christ. So we look at that cross, and we could be reminded that relationship has forever been restored. He's brought you back to a family, and not just any family, it's a royal family. Sin and death and the grave have forever been defeated. Death, where is your sting? And we could look at that cross and be encouraged that everything in our past has been completely forgiven. We can also look at that same beam and it points forward towards our future. In spite of what you've been through, going through, or up against, God has a hope-filled future for you. And it's the message of the cross. It's the message of the empty tomb. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 says, he has saved us and called us. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace, the grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Listen, we talked about it earlier and it bears repeating. I'm grateful for eternal life. It's a long time. But on this side of eternity, there's a life of purpose. There's a life of significance in a culture that is consumed with how can I be deemed a success? God's inviting you to discover a life that's deemed significant. In a culture that's possessed and consumed with what I can possess for myself, my promotion I can attain for myself, the prestige I can gather for myself, God invites us to live for him and discover a life of purpose. I've saved you and I've called you. And you need to hear today, God's writing a big and amazing story in your life. Some of you have lost sight of it because of the power of the present tense circumstances over your heart or your mind. I mean the reality of what you're up against or going through. And you need to hear today that God's still writing a story in your life. that there's a faith-filled future. I no longer live for myself. I've been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2 says. It's Christ now that lives in me, and I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you might say, well, Pastor T, a hope-filled future, that sounds good for some people that are maybe a little better than I, or a little more well-versed than I, or maybe who attend church more often than I. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't come to give his life on that cross so that you could continue to live a mediocre life, a casual, lukewarm life. He came to invite every one of us who would put our faith and trust in him to discover a faith-filled future, an adventurous life of serving God and serving people and making a difference and giving ourselves over to something that's bigger than ourselves, and all the things and the cares of this world will all pass away. And the only thing that will be left standing is what we do in the lives of others to help them experience the love of God through Jesus Christ. So Pastor T, it sounds good for others, but what about me? I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I'm up against this. If you knew who I was, where I came from, what I've done, what I've said, what I think, what I'm grappling with or wrestling with today. Ephesians 1 verse 19, the Apostle Paul said, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. It's the same power. Someone say same power. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. So here's what he's saying. He said, I pray that you understand, that you grasp this, that you catch this, that this lands in your heart, that this moves from your head into your heart, that this becomes a foundation upon which you live your life. He said, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now the same power that's living in and through you. Here's what that means. There's nothing impossible for God. It's not too far gone or too far lost. God is still in the business. It's the message of the resurrection. He's still in the business of bringing dead and dying things back to life. That marriage that seems like it's dead or dying, that dream that seems like it's dead or dying, the hope that you once had in your heart to do something with your life, that seems like it's been on life support. Today, it's the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead that's bringing resurrection power to those hopes, resurrection power to those relationships, resurrection power to those dreams. So when you look at that cross, you could forever, even at a glance, remember that the work of the cross restores you to relationship with your Heavenly Father, connects you to a spiritual family. You can remember that you don't have to fear death of the grave. It's forever been defeated. You can remember that your past has been completely forgiven, and that through the cross, he's called you to a faith-filled, hope-filled future. Would you stand to your feet this morning? And as you stand, would you ask the Holy Spirit of God, would you say, Lord, what are you speaking to me today? And then just listen. Because as much as I care that you would have heard from the heart of your Father today on Easter Sunday, God wants even more to speak. Whatever it is that you need to hear, however you need to be encouraged, however you need to be convicted, however you need to be challenged, however you need to be strengthened today, but whatever it is he wants to say over your life today. And maybe today it's you realizing, man, I do matter to God. I am worth the price that Jesus paid. And the enemy has worked overtime to cause you to think that because of what you've done or where you've been or where you've come from, that you don't matter to the purposes of God. And I'm telling you today that you do. And I'm telling you today that Jesus went to the cross for you to make a way that you could be restored back to a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Maybe today you've been gripped by the fear of death and the grave, always worrying about the other shoe that's gonna drop the next time you go to the doctor. We're always fearing that the same thing that maybe took someone else out previously in your lineage is coming for you. And you live in this constant state of anxiety and fear over death and the grave. And I'm telling you today that if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, though you might die, you will live forevermore. Death, where is your sting? Maybe today, the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, is speaking over your past. It's reaching out to you. The love of the Father's reaching out to you today. He's speaking his love. He's inviting you back. He's calling your name. He's speaking over you today that I'm not done with you, that I'm not finished with you, that I sent Jesus. I loved you right where you were, but I loved you too much to leave you where you are. I'm speaking through the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm speaking through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm reaching out today to bring you home, to make you whole, to make you right. Oh, come on, sing this, church.
Your stripes, my healing, all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven, your blood.
It's still speaking.
Your love,
his love still reaching.
All praise,
after you.
Jesus. Glory to God forever. Your cross, my freedom. Your stripes, my healing, all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Your blood,
come on, it's still speaking, it's still reaching, it's still calling your name, still inviting you back home into relationship with him.
King Jesus, glory to God.
Us to make us whole. We don't get good to get God. Maybe you're here today and you're weighed down by the weight of sin and the guilt and the shame and the condemnation that the enemy uses to try to cause you to think that you couldn't be loved by God. And if that's you today, we talked about it earlier that while we were still sinners, while we were still lost, while we were far from God, the Bible says that's when Jesus came and died for us. Here's what it means. We don't get good to get God. Jesus comes right into our present tense circumstances, real challenges, real darkness, real doubts, real sin. And that's the moment we encounter him and he gives us the free gift of salvation. And that's the language that the Bible uses. It's a free gift. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. And it bears repeating, we can't get good enough to deserve God. It's a free gift. And so if that's you today, there's no better day like Easter Sunday to receive that free gift and begin to live that new life. Or maybe you're here today or joining us online and you once knew God, loved God, maybe even served God. But you've drifted from God, maybe got caught up with the cares of this world, maybe got swept up in the wrong crowd, maybe made some bad decisions or choices, whatever it was for you. If you were honest with yourself today, you're far from God. And if that's you, Jesus told a parable, which is just a story, about someone like you when he told that parable of the prodigal son. Remember the one who went to his father and said, hey, give me what's mine. I'm gonna go live my own way. And eventually that prodigal son came to the place that we all have when we've experienced that or tried to live that way. I've been there and done that myself. And he got to the end of himself, the end of his funds, the end of his so-called friends. The Bible says that he came to his senses and he said, what am I doing? And he said, maybe, just maybe, I can go back home and maybe my father will just maybe welcome me back, even if just as a slave or a servant. And the Bible says he began to make his way home, and here's what it says. The father, as that wayward one was coming home, it says the father saw him from a long ways off. And I believe that's the part that Jesus wanted us to know, so that we would know the posture of the Father towards us when we find ourselves in that condition, far from God and far from home. And it says that the Father ran to him, which implies to me that if he saw him a long ways off and he ran to him while he was a long ways off, that he was obviously looking for, longing for, praying for, hoping for that moment when that wayward one would just take one step back towards his Father's home. No doubt there were still all kinds of things to sort out, to straighten out. But in that moment, the priority of the Father, the posture of the Father was arms wide open. He ran to him. He embraced him, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on his back, said, today we're going to celebrate. For the one who was lost has come back home. In the midst of all the others who have already been found, the one who was lost is home today. And so if that's you, for whatever reason, far from God, that's the posture of the Father towards you today. His arms are wide open. And he's just hoping today that you, from a long ways off, would just take one step back towards him. And here's the step that I want to encourage you to take today. And it's right now, if that's you, far from God or needing to receive the free gift of salvation right now, would you lift your hand as high and as fast as you can towards heaven? You are not responding to a preacher. You're responding to a father who's longing to welcome you back into a relationship with him, to restore that relationship, to give you courage over sin and death in the grave, to forgive your past, to give you a hope-filled future. One more moment, if there's anyone else, to receive that free gift, to step back into relationship with your Heavenly Father. There's no better day like Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, to get right with God, to repent of your sins, to receive the free gift of salvation. One more moment. All right, if you raised your hand, and there were many who did, you can lower it today. And here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna ask you to take a second step and pray a prayer, but we are not gonna ask you to pray it alone. We're gonna pray it with you. You're gonna hear the sound of a church family praying it with you as a sign of support for you. It's the first way of many ways we'll support you if you'll let us. And we pray it together as a church family every week for a second reason. It reminds us we never graduate from grace. So come on, with some amazing people who received that free gift or came home to their Heavenly Father, let's pray this prayer. Maybe pray it with some fresh boldness on Easter Sunday. Repeat after me, say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, because of the cross of Jesus, come on, say it loudly, I'll never be the same. And then rejoice with all of heaven. Give him your best praise on Easter Sunday. King, the risen King, the one who's still saving, renewing, and restoring, who brings dead things back to life. Best praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the risen King.